Well, how many think it's important, upon occasion, every time, to watch our words? Turn to each other and say, now watch your words. come on, haven't you ever, you know, I was married for 24 years before my wife passed away. We had these conversations. Now don't embarrass me. Come on, haven't your spouse said, either one, now come on, you're not going to talk about that tonight, are you? Don't embarrass me. Or how about, have you ever rehearsed what you're going to say over and over and over again, and you still mess up? Yeah. Ever done that? Yeah. When I was a kid, I was in a college radio station. And, you know, the newswire services, you know, the old plankety-plank of the news type machines, that'll date you. That'll date me. Anyway, the machines come across, and right at that time, I was like a freshman, sophomore, junior. I don't remember, it all blurs together now. Anyway, across the line comes this news story, Alabama Governor George Wallace was shot. You all remember that. So, I'm a kid on this college news station or college station, and I'm going to break in with the headline. And I'm sitting there going, okay, this is my first break, right? And so he cuts and opens the mic, and so here's what I say. Alabama Governor George Wallace was shot today. And I stopped. I went, that's Alabama Governor. And then we kept reading, and I kept saying over and over again, Alabama, Alabama. I developed a 51st state in the United States. I remember when my son David was little, and he was just still in his high chair, and we had a really prim and proper guy over to dinner, and I was showing off my son, you know, how he could start saying words. You know how it is, you know, cat. And he looks up and goes, cat. Bell. Milk. And I'm impressing this friend of ours just immensely. So, milk. He ripped off this swear word. I have no idea. We don't talk like this. So I turned beet red. And if you'd known my wife, she starts to giggle. And that was Gail. You know, she had a wonderful laugh. She'd just start to giggle. And my friends, kind of prim and proper, sitting over there. Okay, well, let's try it again. Only David, by this time, had a reaction that changed all of life. You know, I mean, I get a reaction with this one. So I go, okay, let's try this again. Cat, bell, milk. Whoa! Out comes the swear word again. I'm dying. And finally, my friend starts laughing. And you know, it's one of those, don't embarrass me, kid. You know, words are important, and the friend forgave me. He's still my friend, but or how about, have you ever been told a secret, and they tell you, don't tell anybody? You ever told anybody? Let's see the show of hands. I ain't never telling you my secrets, I can see that. I was in a prayer meeting once, and I kept praying. I was so sincere before the Lord. This was a long, long time ago. You know, we were together in Pullman for 40 years, and Pastor Ward, we'd go up and visit him every now and then in Spokane, and was up at his church, and I was still in college. And I kept praying, Lord, give us fallow ground. Give us fallow ground, meaning, you know, let our heart just be tender before the Lord. And finally, Pastor Ward, in front of everybody, looks at me and goes, you know, the Bible says, Lord, break up our fallow ground. I was sincere. Or let's all fall prostrate before the Lord. The one I get the biggest kick out of those, if you've ever been around Pastor Sherry when she does this, Pastor, you'll know this too, Pastor Carl. When you're coming out and you're talking strong statements, and every now and then, Pastor Sherry, you just rip out a really strong statement. And if you look at her, you go, you follow up a little. Now, what was that? She'll sometimes look at you, and she thinks she's adorable. She'll start to laugh. And she'll go, I think I just made that up. Yeah, isn't that true? Isn't that true? She's so funny. She's. But what we say, we learn early in our life, and we work all of our life. We work all of our lives trying to say it right and say it at the right time, and when you say it, how you say it, where you say it, to whom you say it. It's just all crucial. So let's take a look and see what the scripture says, Pat, if you'll go before the altar of our overhead. Out of several translations, I'm going to share a few verses this morning that are really pertinent as we take a look. Psalm 141, verse 3. Say it with me, would you please, out of the New King James. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Out of the New Living, take control of what I say, O Lord. Guard my lips. Out of the New American Bible, set a guard, Lord, before my mouth. A gatekeeper at my lips. Out of the Message, post a guard at my mouth, God. Set a watch at the door of my lips. Luke 6, verse 45, second half of it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. New Living says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. That's good, isn't it? Very good. The New American Bible, for from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the NIV, out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. And then there's one more. The Message says, your true being brims over into true words and deeds. Let's go to Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. We sang it this morning. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Out of the New Living, that phrase is, may they be pleasing to you, O Lord. Out of the New American Bible, meet with your favor. Keep the thoughts of my heart before you. Let my words meet with your favor. Out of the Message, these are the words in my mouth. These are what I chew on and pray. Accept them when I place them on the morning altar, O God. My altar rock, God, priest of my altar. Now, we find in the book of James that the tongue is really hard to tame. Now, I'm going to ask you a real honest question here. You're among friends. How many have ever, in your short life on earth, said something really stupid? You've been a real doofus. You could wear the dunce cap of the day, you know. You just really... Have you ever said something and you sit there and you go, oh, if I could just pull those words back. Have you ever been in a situation, we could call it the pre-argument stage, where you just know it's coming. You know it's coming. Come on, have you ever been there and you know you've got a choice to make and you're cognizant of it. If I say this, we're going to have an explosion. But oh, do I want to say that. Oh, you're looking too sanctimonious this morning. Ever been there? Oh, do I want to say that? And the Lord said, Holy Spirit said, you say that, you're going to have World War III. You're going to live to regret this. And he's so gracious. He's sitting there. He's doing everything but say, shut up, you jerk. Shut up. Just shut up. Hold on. Lord, watch. Keep a guard. Watch over my heart. Help me tame this thing called the tongue. James chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Say it with me, please. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God, our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And that's right. If you're in the daily Bible reading, that's our scripture section, or one of them from today. So guys, how do we get the positive direction going? We let Jesus transform us from the inside out. Pastor Sherry was sharing beforehand, she was sharing, I think it was David Jeremiah's point, wasn't it, this morning, about what was it? Conformed is from the outside. When you're conformed to his image and things you do. But when you're transformed, it's from the inside out. How do we get there? I'm going to tell you that one of the most important ways of getting there is to practice praise and thanksgiving. Practice praise and thanksgiving. Now turn to each other. Just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead. Say it. Say it again. Thank you. Thank you. Some of you are looking at me going, well, for what? It doesn't matter. You're practicing. Just practice. Thank you. Thank you. Now, everybody turn to Daria and say, we agree. You said it. We didn't notice it, but we agree you must have nice knees. I almost said something in the praise report. Anyway. No, healed knees. Healed knees. All right. So we practice it. And this is something we do every day. In our home, with our friends, our family. Words of life begin with thanks. Let's read the scripture, Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. If you want to turn in your own Bible, you're welcome to do so. I have them here, but if you want to find it in your own Bible, it's just a great psalm to hold on to as well. There's a song here we used to sing. You know, all these psalms, remember the old scripture choruses? That's how we learned the Bible, as we sang most of them and committed them to memory. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Out of the New King James, I'm reading. A psalm of what? A psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Say that with me and give it a voice. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Be what? Thankful to him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Watch verses 4 and 5 out of the message. Enter with the password, thank you. When you were a kid, you ever belonged to a secret club? I lived in 28 places before I was 18. Every house I checked out thoroughly, I so much wanted to find a secret passageway. You know, secret hallway or some sort of tunnel or something, you know. But there's this secret password in Christianity, and it's thank you. Well, Jesus, but thank you. If you want to enter with the passwords, thank you. How many came this morning with thankfulness in your hearts? Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for my buddies. Turn to your right and left and say, thank you, Lord, for this buddy. Make yourselves at home. Make yourselves at home, it says, talking praise. Thank him, worship him, for God is a sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Thanksgiving is vitally linked with praise. It's the password of enjoying the presence of God in life itself. Now, the bad news is, I'm going to just do this quickly, the bad news is, you guys, when we don't praise and thank God, the Bible says we bring a curse on ourselves. We live under a curse. Have you ever known what is a self-fulfilling prophecy? I'm going to get that cold. Guess what? You know, this is going to be a rotten day. Guess what? What are we saying out of our hearts and out of our minds? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. ever wonder sometimes why you get down or discouraged, disheartened, or defeated? Just possibly you got there by the words of your own mouth. Right? Maybe we didn't keep guard over our hearts or mouths or our meditation. Deuteronomy 27, verses 47 and 48. Because you did not serve the Lord with your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Because you didn't serve Him joyfully, because you got everything. Wow. Well, wait a minute. I'm hurting. I don't have everything. Life isn't fair. Well, show me the verse that says, and because you became a Christian, everything will go wonderfully and life will always be fair. Just show me that verse. It's not there. The Apostle Paul would beg to differ with that theology. But he can tell us, the truth is, even when times aren't fair, and even when they're not great, God still is. And He's still worthy of our praise and our thanks. He's everything, isn't He? Because you didn't serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the need of everything. He'll put a yoke of iron on your neck until He has destroyed you. Why? Because you didn't serve God gladly with thanksgiving. That's an incredible verse that rebukes me. I don't know where you're sitting this morning, but that rebukes me. I sometimes find frustrations and complaints easily coming from my mouth and out of my heart. And I finally have to stop and say, wait, wait, wait. I repent, Jesus. I'm still alive. I still have grace. I still have You. Isn't He good? He's good, you guys. No matter how tough it is for all of us, any of us. And I know there's members in this church and people in this room who've been through one physical malady after another, or difficult finances, frustrations in relationship. Church, we've all been there. That's why as family we help each other through, and we thank God that we still have Him and each other. The list is extensive about what God allows to happen in our lives if we choose not to praise Him and serve Him with joy and gladness. The Hebrew in that verse literally means if we don't serve Him with gladness and glee and joyfulness, delight and in beauty because of all that He's done for us, it literally means in the Hebrew if we won't do that, then we lose what He's given to us. We end up, again, with a self-fulfilling prophecy. Pastor, I don't want that. How do I turn it around? Well, number one, begin to thank and praise God. Come on, praise God. Can you say it with me? Praise You, Lord. Come on, lift up your voice. Praise You, Lord. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. You're worthy of praise. Give Him a round of applause. You're worthy, Lord. We praise You. Pastor, how do I get out of this thing of self-fulfilling prophecy where it's one negative after another? You begin to thank and praise Him for being so great and so good. You make God your pleasure, the Bible says. You let serving Him bring you laughter rather than the love of the world bringing you laughter. There's a huge difference, church. You show the angry people on every hand, and we are in, make no mistake, an angry spirit and society. You show them that Jesus is real and that He loves and that He forgives and that He's merciful and that He's present even in the bad times. You give away words of thanks and praise. You look for something. Pastor, how do I not go this way? Look for something positive to say and something encouraging to give away. Words of life. That's the name of the message this morning. Words of life. And then you can have a positive self-fulfilling prophecy. I want that, don't you? Positive self-fulfilling prophecy. Words of life, praise, and thanksgiving minister to God and please Him. Why? How come? Why? Why does it do that? Because we see that He is in charge, not me. And He's good. He's much better than I am. Anybody in this room, when somebody crossed you, if you'd been God, they would no longer be on earth? Aren't you glad you're not God? How many in this room yourself would not be on this earth? Thank God. So you look at the God who brings deliverance and healing and forgiveness and mercy, that He's in charge, not you, not me. We thank Him and praise Him because we get to come to Abba Daddy's house. Remember last week we said the party's at Dad's house. We get to walk right in and we appreciate Him for what He's done and what He gives to us, and we know He's in charge. Watch the scripture, Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice to the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious. For nothing. Wow. It's easy to get anxious. Don't you agree? Some of you looking super spiritual. This isn't a trick question. I don't want anybody to know that I get anxious. I get anxious. I do. And he says, Kev, you're in sin. It's a socially acceptable sin. I'm not out getting drunk, not doing drugs. I'm just anxious. I'm worried. And he says, hey, wait a minute. My command to you is clear. Be anxious for nothing. Because when I choose anxiousness, I'm saying, I'm in charge. I got to work this out instead of God being big enough to walk me through it. I make God my size, small, instead of recognizing how big He is and in charge. Be anxious for nothing, but in what? Everything. Come on, how much does that leave over to not do? And say it with me, please. And come on, I can't hear you. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now he's realistic enough to know there are times where we want to be anxious, and it's not easy, and it's not good, and the peace of God shouldn't be there in that circumstance. But he tells us if we will give God thanks and praise and trust Him for it, we will have a peace that makes no sense, that passes all understanding. How come you can have peace in this? That doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. This is a peace that passes all understanding. Because I believe God's in charge. And He will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now that's fantastic. You know, you love the fact that you go to sleep at night, you got a guard at your door. Jesus and the angels of protection, they're guarding you. You got a guard around you all the time. Aren't you glad? You've got a guard at the gate. That's what he says. If you'll praise him and thank him, he'll post the guards around. Fantastic stuff. Now, out of the message, this is great. It communicates. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, what? Pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. It doesn't mean you don't acknowledge your concerns. It means you don't live in those concerns. You shape them into prayers and give them to Him. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces what? Displaces worry at the center of your life. So you start to worry and you begin to praise Him, and it pushes out that worry, and He comes in. When I get down in the dumps and in my mouth, it's often because I think my life begins and ends with me, and my purposes are being frustrated. And what I need to continue to do is thank God I don't get what I deserve, hell, but I get what He's given, grace and mercy. So lift up your voice with vocal praise and thanks, because He's worthy and we're here for His pleasure. How many know you're here to bring God pleasure? And how many know, I mean really know, that He loves you? Do you know you please God? Some of you are, I don't know. Revelation 4, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure. They are and were created. The Greek word pleasure is thelema, and it means He has determined, He has made a choice, and there's purpose and a decree for our lives that we're to bring Him pleasure. We're created for that purpose. We're here by His choice, His determination, His purpose. So that means He's in charge. Let's give Him the joy. So giving thanks and praise ministers pleasure to God. Words of life. Giving thanks builds your faith. So we give Him pleasure. We give Him pleasure. But we also build our faith, and it gives us strength and victory, because our eyes are fixed on Him. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. And you have therefore received Christ the Lord, as you have therefore received Christ the Lord, walk in Him, rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. That Greek word there is parousio, and it means to superabound, live in excess in thanksgiving and in worship. Now, watch this. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When we praise Him and give Him thanks, we get built up. We get stronger. He who speaks in an unknown tongue does what? Edifies himself, builds himself up, makes himself stronger. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. It puts everything into perspective when we praise Him. For our light affliction, but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Out of the Message. These hard times. I want you to say this with me, please. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. How many like that promise? There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we now see, or the things we see now, are here today, gone tomorrow. The things we can't see will last forever. Out of the New Living. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. The things we see now will soon be gone. The things we cannot see will last forever. Paul fixed his heart and his eyes on Jesus as he went through another shipwreck, and as he was having his back beaten, or as he was thrown in jail again. He's singing praises at midnight. He's all tied up in iron chains or whatever. He's in the prison and he's going, Lord, I just praise You and thank You that You're so fantastic. My circumstances don't alter God. I'm not trying to be phony and just say, oh, praise God anyway. I just love these lousy things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying You're still God even when times are tough. I praise You. I worship You. I love You. I adore You. He had the heart where he could see what Paul went through. Now get this. What Paul went through, he called light affliction. Now what Paul went through, most of us would consider life ending. What do you think it was like when he went through heavy affliction? Wow. But light affliction. You can gain the victory when you give thanks and praise. Psalm 8, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have, say it with me please, ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Now Jesus, watch this, quotes that same scripture in Matthew 21:16 and makes one simple change. Have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise? So he's saying in the Old Testament in Psalm 8, you have ordained strength. He quotes it and he says, is perfected praise. You are strengthened when you praise and thank your God. So strength is linked to perfected praise. How many need a little more victory in your life at times? Begin to praise and worship Him. Remember, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat sends out the praisers and worshipers to go to the field of battle before the army goes out. And it routed the enemy. The devil cannot live in the midst of praise and worship. He scatters and flees. You want the enemy to flee from your life? Begin to praise and worship Jesus. Small group of people in 1620, 102 to be exact, wedged themselves into what was called the tween decks of a what would nowadays be a tiny little ship called the Mayflower. The ship's cargo space had 5.5 feet of headroom. And they spent day after day after day encouraging each other and singing the Book of Psalms. You don't hear this in revisionist history today. 66 days at sea, and they finally sight land. And just so happened, they land in the one place where they could have been safe. The one place. A plague had wiped out the Native Americans from that spot years earlier, and because of their belief, they would never have returned to that spot. And it's the one spot where our pilgrims landed. The weather's horrible. The foodstuffs are running out. And God, who does all things well, though not everything is good, makes good out of it. Years earlier, a Native American named Squanto had been taken as a slave back to Europe. He had escaped his prison situation, made his way, spoke perfect English, made his way back to his home. And he walks out of the forest and looks at the pilgrims and greets them. And becomes an absolutely invaluable man to teach these pilgrims how to survive the winter and grow crops and to live. And a whole lot of them died. But those who lived had Squanto and mostly God to thank for it. God brought Squanto to them. The pilgrims, Squanto, Chief Massasoit of those Wampanoag Indians, easy for you to say, the Wampanoag Indians gathered together for their first Thanksgiving meal. And that's where we see Thanksgiving happen. By the way, I just taught you all about the Feast of the Lord, Thanksgiving all through them, and it's undoubtedly from the Feast of the Lord in the Scriptures that they brought their Thanksgiving feast over to America, because that's what they could relate to as they gave thanks to God. 1789. Congress approves a Bill of Rights and recommends a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to thank God for blessing America. November 26, 1789. President Washington declares the first National Day of Prayer and Thanksgiving in America. 75 years after that, Abraham Lincoln officially establishes the last Thursday in November as a day to acknowledge the gracious gifts of the Most High God. Here's his proclamation, at least partially. The year that is drawing toward the close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. Remember, the Civil War has been engaged as well. Listen to what he says. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, other bounties have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. He goes on. And then he concludes, or comes toward a conclusion, by saying, no human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out all these great things. They're the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently remembered and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens, Lincoln said, in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Thanksgiving is the really, truly, only Christian holiday we truly have in America. Now, I'm looking at a group full of my friends, at a room full of my friends this morning, and I'm here along with you to say, let us devote our hearts to true thanks to God for all He's done. And don't let the love of the world steal your heart away to just make it a turkey day or a day of football and sports. Let it begin with thanks to God and praise to God, who has done so much. Turn to each other and say, He's done so much for us. Let's thank Him. And remember, church, when He healed a group of people, 10 lepers, how many turned around to really give Him thanks? Let's be at least that one who turned around and give Him thanks. Elaine, would you come? We'll close by singing that last song. Musicians, you can come. But I want to tell you a final story as we close. So I don't want a lot of moving around. But I want to tell you something. I was talking just yesterday with someone who told me this story that I thought, wow, how powerful for us to know. These people were in my office and we were signing a contract and we were talking about different things. And then they stopped. She stopped and she said, you know, just recently, I've lost 2 very, very close friends who have died, who live back east. And the plane flights are so expensive at this time of year, there's absolutely no way for me to go back. But she said, I'll tell you the story of what happened. It didn't take a long time. The husband and wife came home from Sunday church just last Sunday. She was going to make lunch and he was going to clean their gutters. Now, guys, turn to your wife and say, I told you I shouldn't clean the gutters. No. Which I did yesterday, so it's all right. Anyway, and she said, okay, wait a minute. I will come out with you and I will hold the ladder steady. And he said, no. That's just this one part I'm going to clean. You go in and fix lunch and I'll be right in. And a while later, a neighbor came running to the door and said, I heard your husband screaming outside, who had slipped from his 10-foot ladder. Doesn't sound like that big of a deal. They took him to the hospital, and 2 days later, he died from internal bleeding. How quick it goes. I'm not saying that story to be down. I'm saying that story to say, so how quickly time flies and things happen. So now is our time to thank Him. And now is our time to thank and love each other. Now is the time to encourage and praise and look at each other and say, I love you and thank you for being my friend and my companion in life. Now is the time to let go of any frustrations and to say, we're in this together and I don't know how long we've got, but I am thankful for you. Now's the time. Don't you agree?
Yes, amen.
Now's the time. Let's stand. Words of life that we can give away because now's the time to do it. Lord, we thank You, we thank You, we thank You, we thank You, we thank You for being so good to each of us. We thank you for all the blessings and the bounty that we experience in our life. We thank you for healing and forgiveness. We thank you for saving us and filling us with your Spirit and giving us a church of friends to gather and grow in. And thank you that we can come and worship in your house. Thank you for our friends and our families and our extended families. We dedicate ourselves to you to be a thanker and praiser in life. To bring the words of life. And they all said, Amen. If you're here this morning and the Lord's spoken to your heart and maybe there's something that you know you've been grumbling too much, repent of it this morning. But don't give up, get up and leave here negative. Leave here forgiven and with a new purpose to be more of a praiser and a thanker. Thanks living and thanksgiving. Amen. How many are glad for Jesus and His love? Lord, we thank you that the pilgrims came to this land so long ago and you've given us a nation in which we can still have freedom to worship you like this. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are clean through the blood of Jesus that you shed for us on Calvary. And thank you that we have Thanksgiving this week to remind us to be ever thankful. We love you, Lord, and worship you. Now bless these precious people who have come to this place this morning that they might go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Strengthen them now in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Be released. Have a fantastic day. A wonderful Thanksgiving.